See, the psalmist says, it's good to praise the Lord, to make music unto your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night is my desire. Amen. We heard the song, there is all about you. Amen. It's all about Jesus. We are here because it's all about him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He's worthy to be praised. Worthy to be honored. He's worthy to be glorified. And he's worthy to be exalted. Amen. Hallelujah. Our Father in heaven, we thank you. We give you the praise, Lord, for it's so dear unto your name. We honor you and we exalt you for the fact that, Lord, you brought us into this place to worship you as brothers and sisters, to exalt you and to adore you for who you are. You are the mighty God. The great I am, the I am that I am. You, the everlasting Father. Hallelujah. Lord, even when we come to praise you, we feel it's a privilege. And we've already been honored by you. Thank you, Father, this morning for the preaching of your word. Lord, I stand before your people. Not that I am anything, but it's just by your grace. And I pray as I speak to them, O God, this morning, I totally depend upon your Holy Spirit. Speak through me, O God. Touch my lips of clay. Give clarity to my tongue. That, Lord, even as your people hear your word this morning, they will be as though they are hearing the very voice of the Almighty God. In Jesus' name we pray. Let every saint say amen this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know the preachers who understand when I say this. You know, there are times, you know, God is talking to you and you're trying to put what he's saying to you on the paper, but you can't do it. Amen, preachers. I mean, you try to bring all the thoughts, I mean, together, want to put it on the paper, and it's like nothing is coming. But at the same time, God wants for you to speak to his people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What I'm going to say this morning is just something that is related to my own life. But one thing I know, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. Through it all, I've learned to depend on his word. You know, of late, certain things has been going through my life, almost to an extent that I wanted to start to questioning God. But who am I to do that? Who am I? The other day it was too heavy upon my heart. I couldn't tell my wife what I was going through. I sat, I was on my knees, and last Sunday pastor was preaching on how we can cry before the Lord. You cry, I mean, you shed tears. You know, he was making it funny, but I'm seated there. I'm like, if only he can know and come and see what is going on in my heart, he would know that God is speaking to me through his life. It was 2 days ago. I called, you know, it was so heavy, and I'm like, you can check out if you're not careful, but God has given me family. I need to talk to somebody. I need to offload this to somebody. I picked my phone. It was early in the morning. I called Pastor. He's like, you really want for me to come? I'm like, just come. And he was wondering, because I've never done that before. He said, okay, I want to go. You know, there's something I want to do by church. And then maybe if I finish, I'll come and see you. You know how God speaks? I think you had no peace. He said, okay, you know what? I'll give priority to your call than going to the church. I'm sat there by myself and I'm like, this is what brothers are for. Amen. That's what brothers are meant for. He came. I was a little bit emotional. We sat, I told him everything. He said, Pastor, we will stand together. We will stand together. Don't think that you failed anything. Jesus. And then somebody calls. You know, his pastor. Two or three people while we were talking called him. Said, oh, can I go attend to this? And I'm like, you've done enough. Just go and see and talk to those people. He left and I'm thinking, Sunday, I know I've been asked to preach. I almost said, Pastor, can you just go ahead and preach? But God said, no. I want for you to go and do it. He gave me a word. That's why I'm saying I'm going to say things that relates to my own life. Everyone here, as a Christian, I know God has given you a vision individually, apart from the vision he has given to the pastor. We all, you know, have seen one or another what you want to become tomorrow. What you want to become maybe 3-4 years from now. You've seen that. That's a vision. You know what Habakkuk says? Habakkuk says, you write it upon the table of your heart. And he said, you know, even if it tarries, my Lord, even if it works, even if you see as if it's not working, because it's given you by the Lord, the Bible says it shall surely come to pass. God took me now to his word and he brought in to my attention one person who would talk about. And this person is Joseph. I would tell the story, then go to the word of the Lord. We all know the life of Joseph. Joseph, born from the family of Jacob. He was like among the 12 children, he was the second from the last. And the Bible says Joseph was a son among the 12 Jacob's children who was favored by the father. The Bible talks about Joseph one time he was in sleep. God gave him a vision. He showed him in his sleep on an owl. He was going to be some leader. And he saw his parents bowing before him. All his 11 brothers were bowing before him. And as young as he was, according to scripture, he became so excited. You know, I look at Joseph, I'm like, anyone, today we can do the same thing. You are there and you don't know anything, but God comes, he said, I'm going to make you the president of the U.S., of the U.S. And he shows to you everyone bowing before you. I mean, you're going to be in control. Tell me if anyone cannot be excited. We will all be excited. In his excitement, he went to his brothers without knowing even how his brothers looked upon him. He goes there, the Bible says, these brothers of his, because the father favored him so much, they were jealous of him. But he goes to them, start to share what God was going to do. He shared once. The brothers come together. They say, that boy is so proud. Who does he think he is? Can we bow before that boy? We've seen, we've changed diapers. I mean, they went to say a lot of things about him without him. Some of them, they even rebuked him to the face and said, you shut up. Not boy. He's like, hey, is this what is going to be? After that, the second time he shared, he even went to the parents. Oh, I had this dream. I saw, you know, the moon and the sun bowing and the stars, everybody bowing. You know, you have to know. Parents, they know. They interpreted that dream just like that. What are you trying to say? Can I, your mothers, your brothers come and bow before you? They rebuked the young man. But because God had spoken, because he knew, yes, he knew, he heard from the Lord. My Lord Jesus, I'm like Joseph knew. He knew, he knew. No matter how they rebuked him, deep down his heart, he knows. He knew that God had spoken to him. And he knew that God was going to do it. My Lord Jesus. Because of their jealousy, you heard what happened. He's going, you know, in good faith, the father sent him to go see where the brothers were. And he said, you go see them, take food to them, and then bring the report back to me. Oh, they saw him coming from afar. Here comes the proud guy. Here comes the dreamer. How I long for someone to say, this guy is a dreamer. My Lord Jesus. The Bible says young men shall dream dreams. My Lord, I'm not yet old, Pastor. I can have gray hair, but I feel I'm young. In the name of Jesus. Because dreams still are continuing to come. Oh, my Lord and my God. Somebody, somewhere will shout, there comes a dream. There comes a dreamer. That's what they said, Pastor. We'll see what will befall of his dreams today. Because we're going to kill him. My Lord. You know what they say? We'll even go to cut this long shot. Tell the father who loves him so much that your son is dead. That's how they took the boy, put him in the pit. But you know, when God is involved, not even the pit can hold you. My Lord Jesus. Oh yeah. You may be there in the pit. I want to speak to you. That's not the end. It's not the end. If God is involved, that pit will not hold you until he does what he purposed for you to do what he purposed to do through your life. I'm seated and I'm contemplating on this, thinking about it. I'm like, yes, but Lord, you know, there is one thing missing here. Why is it that when you give visions, you don't tell us what will happen between the vision when you spoke and the fulfillment of that vision. Why? He will tell you that I'm going to do A, B, C, D, and he even show, but he will not tell you what will happen between the vision and the fulfillment. Here is Joseph the dreamer. The Bible says, from the pit, what happened? From the pit to slavery. Hallelujah. You know what? The Bible says, tears may flow in the night, but joy comes in the morning. You know the truth is some nights can prolong just like seasons. That's what we do not know. My nights cannot be your nights, Pastor. My days cannot be your days, Sister Purity. Mine can go and I would feel it's forever. And your night can just be maybe 12 hours and it's done in your life. You follow Joseph. I'm coming to something here. Hallelujah. From the pit to where? Slavery. And this is just like, even into slavery. You know, slavery could not hold him. Somehow, he was promoted as a slave. And you know, any person would be like, maybe I've arrived. I would just die as a boss. A boss servant for, what's the name of that soldier? Potiphar. He's there trying to enjoy his boss instructing everybody in the house. God says, that's not the end, brother. I just wanted to give you a little relief. In life, how many are like that? It's good today. You enjoy. And God said, that's not the way I want for you to rejoice. The life I've given you is not the life to enjoy once. The life I've given you is life much more abundantly. You are not called to work as a slave in somebody's house, even if it seems like you are promoted. Some night clips in through the wife of Potiphar. What happened? He found himself where? In a dungeon, prison, locked up for something he never even did. He was there, I think, wondering, is the vision which God gave me true? Will it ever come to pass? Or I'm just going to live like this? Every time I feel a relief, next time I found myself in a quagmire. Oh, Jesus. He's there, you know what? God took him out. Instead of being a slave, who did he come? Some king. The fulfillment of what? His dream. But you got to understand, there's something we talked about with Pastor. We mentioned the family is back home. And this is the prayer I make all the time. Lord, why can't you just make me the way they think about me? Because somebody in Africa, they don't understand your sufferings here. Or they think that guy has trees and trees behind his back, trees that bears dollars. Or for him to be in America, he should be the most rich people in this world. They don't even figure out that you work maybe harder here than you were working when you were back home. The same thing happened. Joseph, he said, the things he was, some of them were even rejoicing. But the truth, listen, this is what came into my heart. Even when he was suffering, he never forgot about his family. When he was elevated by the Lord, he still remembered his family. Because of his blessings, his family was also affected. You know how God works. There was famine in Canaan. And he's like, I'm not going to leave my family the way they are. They have to be here. If I eat chicken, they should also eat chicken. And they came. But you know, when I said all these things, I wanted to go to a scripture. Psalm 105, we'll start reading from 19. Maybe let's go back. And I could have read the whole psalm, but let's start from 14. The Bible reads Psalm 105, verse 14. He permitted no one to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sakes, saying, do not touch my anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm. This is a scripture I tell you we've misquoted a lot of times, and I don't want to go there. Do not touch the anointed one. Do no harm to my prophets. I'm not going to talk about, but we've misused this scripture. Let's go down. Moreover, he called for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provisions of bread. He sent a man before them. This man he sent before them. Listen, he sent the man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord, that's what I wanted. What did the word of the Lord, or the vision of the Lord, what did it do? The Bible says it tested him. Who is him? It tested Joseph. That dream God has given you, listen to me. If it's truly from God, one day or another, and I'm not prophesying, I'm not God, I don't know your life, but one day or another, it shall test you. This way, the Bible says, he tested Joseph. I'm looking unto it, the Bible. You know what the Bible says? The word of the Lord is a pure word. As silver tried in the furnace of the earth, the words purified 7 times more. Look, I'm looking at it. When you go out today, you are flipping that gold coin. You are flipping the silver. Even those people with things like silver, you know, it did not just come from anywhere. When it was dug from the ground, it just looked like dust. You will pick it today with no knowledge, you will be like, what is this? Throw it away. But you know what? What those metallurgists, whatever you call them, when they go there and they dug and they will go and get the dust we overlook. First put it in the furnace. Now that furnace, the way it's heated, is degrees and degrees and degrees. It could be Fahrenheit, so centigrade, but it will be high. I don't even know. If it happens, you are put there, you will be gone like it. It was a fly which is fallen into some brazier which is hot. It is very hot. And when they do that, the process starts. In the end, the furnace produces what? The God you are handling today. The same way the word of the Lord does. Another scripture, you know, says sharper than the edged sword. It pierces, the Bible says, and divide asunder the bone from, the marrow from the bone. It's the word of God that opens your heart. Make him to see the intentions of your heart. This way. In life, it will test you. But that testing doesn't mean it's over for you. No. Most of the time, that's when we give up. Hallelujah. I went and I read scriptures from Psalm 114. This one I rejoiced. You know, when God does it for you, first the Bible says, you and me, we've been delivered from the powers of darkness into his marvelous light. Psalm 114, starting I think from verse 1 there. You know what the Bible says, and I'm quoting this, I'll maybe paraphrase it in my own words. The Bible says, when God delivered the children of Israel from Egypt, you know what God did? The Bible says he became their dominion. He became their dominion. I know there are a lot of scholars here. When I say, maybe they are playing basketball. And I'm like, Pastor Angel or Pastor Julius is dominating. What do I mean? You look at that prayer. Is dominating. Well, how do you look at him? He is the greatest of all. Is the one who's in control of the game. Amen. He's just dominating. He has dominion over the game. And Bible says when he delivered them from Egypt, he became their dominion. Listen, God became he controlled everything. When these children of Israel were seen by their enemies, they did not see them. They saw the one who was having dominion over their lives. My Lord, I'm looking, Lord, I'm like, Lord, how is this going to happen in my life? I want for you to be my dominion. I want for you to take control of this life. I want for you to rule in my life. I want for you to take charge of my life. Because I realize without you, there is nothing I can do. Without you, I'm totally going to be on my face. Oh, Jesus. The Bible says, you know how he answered? It's in the second verse. How he answered me, I pray someone would understand. The Bible says, he wasn't only the dominion of Israel, but he dwelt in Judah. Oh, that answers it all. He dwelt in Judah. What does Judah mean? Judah means praise. I'm not making it. Can you bring verse 2 here? Just put it. To verse 5, I want to read something. 114, 1 to 5. Hallelujah. You see what this version I wanted, is it New American? This is New American Standard Version. You see, it says, from 1, go to 1. I will be closing. I know there's something. It says, when Israel went forth out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language. Go to 2. Judah became his what? And Israel is? Go down, you see what happened. Because God was their dominion and that he dwelt among them. Go down, my Lord Jesus. Go down there. The sea saw it and fled. The Jordan was driven back. Go ahead to 5. The mountains skipped like rams. The little hills like lambs. Go on. My Lord Jesus. What allayed thee, O thou man? He started now to tease those things which were standing before him. What happened to you after you bragged all this long? You belittled me. I know if you got other verses who tell you, what happens to you who said that where is your God? My Lord Jesus. Bible tells me when they crossed the first miracle of the Red Sea, Moses' sister picked that. What do you call it? You know what he sang? She says, our God has triumphed so gloriously. The horse and the rider as he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my song. And will forever dwell in us. He dwelt in Judah. My Lord Jesus. That's what I'm longing for. I mean, I'm like, it's too much, Lord. Can you come through for me? At least I know, mighty God, that you have delivered me from the powers of darkness. You've put me into your marvelous light. If I'm in your light, shine through me. Let them see your glory through my life. Oh, my Lord and my God, I know it will come to pass. All I do not know is when this refinery is going to end. But one day, my Lord, prophet Habakkuk, who art thou, O ye mountain before my servant Zerubbabel? Oh, the Bible says it's not by mighty, nor by power. My Lord, it's by my spirit, says the Lord. You go ahead, stand there. What I know is you crumble one day or another, I'm going to tread on you. Jesus, my Lord and my God. Oh, let the tears flow, Pastor. I don't care how long my night is going to be. And I want to announce to the devil, I do not care how long my nights can be. I do not care how long my tears are going to flow. But one thing and one thing I know, and that I know and I know, one day my cup shall be full. Oh, my Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, he will pour it one day. Thank you, Father. I give you the praise. Our Lord Jesus. My Lord Jesus. It's not over, we say, until he says it's over. Oh, God. Same closing. You know, I wanted to say testimony. I told Pastor, I lost the message. You know one thing, and I thank God for the children he's blessed me with. You know, those guys you see at times with those dread rocks, and you look at them, You know, I let them to look like that. But one thing I know, Pastor Tony, God has blessed my children with good hearts. Thank you, Jesus. They have good hearts. I'm seated. I was talking to them. Apparently, you know, the Bible says, my sheep knows my voice. Even when I'm talking to them, they will know what state I am in or not. Just by talking to them on the phone. I called my daughter this day. I showed the text which she sent to me, to my wife. We were all like, we became emotional. I talked to my daughter. I'm talking. She wanted something, but I couldn't give her. So in the tone of my voice, I'm like, you know, as a parent, you fail to do it. You know what happens in your heart? I'm there, you know. Something troubling me in my heart. Text come. Looked, it was from my daughter. My wife can finish if I leave anything. She's like, Daddy, you know what? You're the greatest man of all I know in my life. Don't ever think that you failed any one of us in this family. You have tried, and you should start to look at yourself as the most blessed of the Lord. And I'm not just saying this. This is a young girl, you know. She's not even that deep in the things of the Lord. I was telling Pastor, she started to quote all these statistics. In the world, I don't even know about poverty. She started to say, look, in the world, you know what? An average person in the world, they live on what? $2 a month. And she said that, do you know that? And then she asked, she said, do you live on $2 a month? God has provided this and that for us. The daughter was writing you this. She's in the best school in this country, and I don't even understand how we are here. Look at your son, Nathan, and I'm not bragging. It didn't come from me. He's also in the university out there. She said, even JJ, I believe as he graduates, God will take him into another school. Don't ever think that you failed anyone of us. I'm seated there. I show that to my wife. Almost breaking. The same week, that little girl, Sue, I never showed her that. She comes. It was on a paper pink, you know, Manila papers. She goes in her room. She sat there for a long time. She comes. She gets this and gives it to the mother. She looked at me and said, Daddy, don't think I've forgotten you. You are also included in that letter. What was she saying? One thing I've not done, Daddy and Mom, what I want to do is to thank you for the way you've taken care of us. The way you've provided for us. You've protected us. You gotta understand, this is a man who's there in anguish, wanting to do more for his children, and it's not coming in the time he's expecting it to come. And they are saying that. You know what? God forbid that I ever doubt him. And I hand you in Jesus' name.